Hi, I'm Peter Dempsey.
Oi, eu sou Gustavo Menezes e eu sou piloto de Star Mazda.
Hi, I'm Rusty Mitchell.
Hi, I'm Martin Plowman, and you're listening to OpenPaddock.net Motorsports Commentary for the fans, by the fans.
Welcome to another episode of Inside the Helmet here at OpenPaddock.net. Today we have Matthew Brabham, your 2013 Pro Mazda Championship champion. That's a mouthful, championship champion. But anyway, won 2013 season in dominating fashion. Absolutely dominating. Out of the, what was there, 12 some odd rounds? And I only see three events on here, three races that... that don't have a number one in them. in addition to that, you're winning and leading the most laps and setting the fast race lap and leading from pole. Man, what a magnificent season.
it was an unbelievable season. Thanks for having me on the show, firstly. But it was just one of those years where everything fell into place. And no matter what we did, nothing really went wrong. I mean, there was those three races that we didn't win. But, I can't really complain because in all the other races we won. So, yeah, I just really, really enjoyed it. And it was a lot of fun for sure. It's definitely, definitely fun when you're winning. And the team was fantastic. And it was such a crazy year. I just couldn't even, can't really just, you know, it's just one of those things that was really weird. And, you know, we kind of just didn't really know how to handle it at all, but it was great.
Well, in 2012, of course, you won the USF 2000 championship. That was a much, much closer battle than with your teammate, Spencer Piggott. Coming into last season, going to COTA, I would love to hear your thoughts about racing at that track for the first time. But coming into in 2013, after that 2012 year, what really were your expectations for the season?
To be honest, I didn't really have any expectations. You know, obviously, the year I had in USF 2000 was really, really tough, and Spencer and I both, you know, fought throughout the whole year, swapping, you know, lead of the championship throughout almost every single race. So it was a really, really tough year for me. And, you know, coming out of that year, I was really expecting it to, you know, get even tougher as I moved up through the ladder. And, in the preseason going into 2013, there was obviously a little bit of uncertainty with the championship changing hands and all that going on. So it was one of those weird preseasons where you didn't really know what was going on or where everybody else was at. It was really, really jumbled. And, you know, at certain points during the preseason, I didn't even know if there was going to be a Pro Mazda series to race in. So luckily Dan took that over. And once that happened, more drivers started signing up. And it just kind of started on from there.
Well, there, that first event of the season was at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. You got to tell me, what was it like racing at that fantastic circuit?
It was really, really cool. We got to do a test day there the week before, so we got lots of track time there, and it was one of the, I think it's one of my favorite tracks for sure in the United States. It was so much fun to drive on, and the facilities and everything around the track was really, really cool. Everything's, you know, it's a Formula One track, so everything's top notch. And the track layout is just, I'm not sure who designed it but they definitely had the intentions of creating good racing. On all the entries into all the corners, the track opens up massively and creates more room to pass. And the up and down elevations between all the corners are really, really fun as you dip down and feel the forces from the car. And it's got some really, really, really nice, fast flowing corners and sweepers that, really test the downforce of the car as well. So it has everything all in one track, and it's definitely a lot of fun to drive on. I loved it.
Well, that also during that first weekend, your first race, you ended up on the podium.
Yep.
But you were behind your USF 2000 rival, Spencer Pigott, who was P2, and Diego Ferreira of Juncos Racing, who really made a lot of strides in 2012 and came out of the gate pretty strong. Yeah. They're taking a win in 2013. Did that shake you at all? Were you worried about the coming season after that, or was it? Man, no, I got these guys.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of I was a little bit shocked at first, but I knew we had speed because all in testing leading up to that first race, you know, we had the speed that we, you know, the such great speed, and we're quite a bit ahead of everybody. And then as we got into the race mode, you know, I'm not sure, it's just a combination of things didn't quite fall into place for us, you know, setup wise and driving and the way the conditions of the track changed as well. And in the first race, I was a little bit shocked, but, you know, I knew it was going to be tough. You know, it's always tough at the front. And, you know, in race mode, that's when everybody kind of shows their best, their true colors and all their best. So it was, in the first race, it was really, It was a little bit disappointing at first, you know, especially when, my rival from the last year caught me and passed me and beat me to the second position. But, at the same time, I was thinking about the championship, you know, straight on from race one. And, I think it just made us work a little bit harder and make sure that we didn't slack at all for the rest of the year. Cause we knew that, you know, one little thing went wrong, they were going to be right there with us. So.
Well, of course, Diego kind of stayed with you through the first couple of events, but you were always just that one better. You know, St. Pete went your way, and then you go to the ovals, and you'd race in an oval in at Lucas Oil in USF 2000, but I think that was the only oval that season, right? Did you race?
Right.
Okay. And you know, this time you're back at Lucas Oil and you're racing now at the Milwaukee Mile in a car with a little bit more speed. Coming to an oval with a bit more horsepower, a bit more speed, did that kind of change how you approached oval racing, or was it, oh yeah, I've done this before, I've got it?
I guess it was a little bit, you know, oh, I've done this before, and, you know, as long as I get some good running in and get a lot of laps in, I should be all right. But it was kind of interesting, you know, I went to race at Lucas Oil Raceway in the, USF 2000 car and then switched over to the Mazda car and moved up with more power and downforce. And in fact, it was a little bit unexpected, but I found the Pro Mazda car was a little bit easier to drive on the ovals than the USF 2000 car, because it had more downforce and it didn't move around as much. And, when the car's, you know, sliding a little bit or moving around, it makes it a lot tougher on ovals. And I found that the USF 2000 car was a little bit more difficult to get used to and drive. And I think, you know, as well, last year, I'd never even seen an oval in my life before, you know, before last year. So it was a massive learning curve for me. Whereas this, you know, in USF 2000 was a massive learning curve for me because I'd never seen an oval before. And then when I moved to the Pro Mazda, I had a race under my belt and I kind of knew how to approach it. So I found it a little bit easier to get used to the ovals and the Pro Mazda car in 2013 compared to 2012 and the USF 2000 car.
Well, you won both of those oval races as well as the two races on the streets of St. Petersburg. Were you starting to think at this point, this championship is mine?
I never really thought about it that way. I was never thinking, oh, this championship's mine. But I did think about on a different, you know, different angle of, you know, this is my championship to lose, really. So,
yeah.
You know, I felt like I wasn't really focusing too much and on anything or realistic goals or where it would end up in the first couple of races at St. Petersburg, or the ovals. I was just focusing on, you know, the stuff that I could control and all the little things that were going into place and, you know, just winning the race and my race strategy. And I wasn't really thinking too much outside of just what I needed to. But for sure, you know, after those you know, that really good couple of runs, you know, I was really kind of surprised how well it went. And, yeah, I was really kind of, you know, I was trying not to get too complacent, and I knew, you know, how hard the other teams are going to be working just to beat us. And, you know, every single race that we won, the other teams are going to get more and more hungry and try harder and harder and harder. So I was trying to do the same and motivate my team to do exactly the same as well and get motivated and stay, you know, always be wary of the competition and never get too complacent and always try hard as possible to stay in front.
Well, you go up to Canada and you continue your domination on the streets of Toronto. But then Mosport, what happened at Mosport?
Well, I guess, you know, we had a really good string of luck, well, and, you know, nothing going wrong whatsoever all the way up until Toronto. And, you know, everything was running very, very smoothly. And at Mosport, I guess, you know, some things didn't go our way, and it ended up really hurting us. Just the whole weekend didn't really turn out and quite as how I'd planned it to. You know, I kind of planned to come in there and, you know, be on up the front for qualifying and stay up the front throughout all the races. But, you know, leading into qualifying, we, through practice, we had really, really good pace and we were the quickest, I think, in all the practices. And then we went into qualifying and, we didn't get a new tire run, because of a really long red flag, a yellow flag. So we missed our new tire run and, we didn't qualify too well, but, you know, I felt like I could move through the field as the same I did at St. Petersburg. And then in the first race, I made a few mistakes myself driving wise and I missed out on quite a lot of opportunities to get to the front. And then, when I missed those opportunities, I didn't really get another chance because, another yellow flag came out and then we, finished under yellow. So, you know, just little things that just didn't quite fall our way. And, you know, at the same time, you know, I made mistakes at the wrong time as well. So, you know, everything can't fall your way every single race. So, you know, I was disappointed at that particular race weekend. And, but, you know, I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't going to hold on to it really. I was just going to focus on the rest of the year. And I knew we had the speed to win at all the other racetracks. And, you know, I knew we had everything in place to, you know, finish off strong. So I wasn't too worried about it. And, but yeah, it was just one of those weekends that didn't quite go our way.
Well, you come back in proper form there at Mid-Ohio and finish out the rest of the year on the top step, securing the championship. That had to be a really great feeling, especially after Mosport, in the frustrations there. It also had to be a good feeling for Andretti.
Yeah.
When in all this did you start talking about, hey, I need an Indy Lights ride?
Well, I guess they weren't trying to put any extra pressure on me, and you know, at the same time, I wasn't trying to put any extra pressure on myself, so I wasn't trying to think about that too much, really. And then you know, obviously coming out of Mosport, we had some bad luck there. And going into Mid-Ohio, you know, the Mid-Ohio race weekend, I got some good luck back to me. You know, I was coming second in the last race and Diego ran off the track and I ended up winning that race. And that was, you know, a little bit of good luck coming my way. Whereas, you know, Mosport, you know, is a little bit of bad luck there. But, yeah, you know, I think after Mid-Ohio, you know, heading to Trois-Rivières, and I think I wasn't thinking about it too much, but it was for sure in the back of our heads, you know, looking at 2014 and Indy Lights and what we're going to do. And, you know, there was definitely things being discussed, but there was nothing set in stone, or, you know, it was just one of those things where I wasn't trying to focus on it too much. But for sure, when we went to Trois-Rivières and won the championship there, things started to change a little bit.
Well, you now have a solid sponsor in United Fiber and Data, fantastic backing, and you are with Andretti for 2014 in Indy Lights. Had some good testing and ran really strong. Had some really nice pace down at NOLA and Barber for the Winterfest. What do you think of the Indy Lights car?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. You know, it's I jumped up. Every time you jump up a step in the ladder in the Mazda Road to Indy, you just get a little bit more downforce and a little bit more power, and that's always more fun. So it was, but you know, I found it quite difficult at first to get used to. When I jumped into the Pro Mazda car, it only took me, you know, a couple of test days and, you know, maybe a test day or two, and everything fell right into place. And I really, you know, meshed well. My driving style really, you know, suited the Pro Mazda car really, really well. And, when I made the jump from, you know, obviously this preseason to the Indy Lights car, I found it quite difficult at first, especially with the weight. The weight of the car is quite a lot more than what I've, you know, anything I've ever driven before. So it was definitely hard to get used to the weight transfer and how the car basically just generally felt. So that was very interesting. But, you know, definitely at Barber and that last test, everything's slowly starting to come together, and I'm feeling more and more comfortable in the car. And at that test, for sure, I felt really confident with the speed we had. So I'm kind of glad and looking forward to the season to start.
Well, given how the testing sessions panned out, it looks like you might have a bit more challenge this year. But you're up against a some pretty good drivers in Luis Razia and especially Gavi Chavez, who has a lot of experience in this car and is with a pretty good team there with Bilardi. What's your mindset going into this next season?
I think it's going to be a challenge, and it's going to be a really, really tough challenge for sure. It's going to be really tough for the drivers. I think the competition is really, really good this year, especially with the European drivers obviously coming over. And Gabby's done really, really well in the Mazda Road to Indy. And it's obviously his second year in Indy Lights, so he's going to be very tough to beat for sure. But, you know, it's pretty interesting because I feel like, you know, it's a lot more sensitive. Everything's a lot more sensitive to, you know, the things you do, because, you know, Barber would make a little bit of a change and it wouldn't quite work out so well, and then we'd drop down the timesheets a little bit, and then we'd make a change and make a little bit of time and find something that feels really good, and then we'd jump right back up to the top. So I think it's going to be a very exciting year, that's for sure. But I think it's going to be good for me because, you know, I'm obviously going to learn a lot more if I'm pushed, and the challenges of, you know, learning a new car and getting all that sorted out is going to be, you know, very beneficial to me as well. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Have you given any thought to the fact that you're going to be the first person to have the opportunity to win the championship in all three rungs of the Mazda Road to Indy ladder?
Yeah, I definitely have. You know, I'm in a good position to do that, obviously. But at the same time, I think the best thing for me is just to kind of block that out once the season starts and not even focus on that, because I think it could, you know, affect my nerves a little bit and put a little bit too much pressure on myself if I keep thinking about that. So I'm definitely going to do my best to try and block that out of my mind as soon as the season starts, that's for sure. But if I could get it done, I mean, that would be, I'd be absolutely, it'd be really, really cool and a dream come true, I guess. But yeah, I'm just going to try and keep as open-minded as possible and not think about that stuff too much.
Well, one other thing, and not to put any more pressure on you here, but one more thing I would love to hear your thoughts on as you come into this 2014 season. You're not in the IndyCar yet, so it's not the 500, but you will get to drive in anger around the oval at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway on Carburation Day this coming May. Tell me your thoughts about that. Are you excited about it? Are you nervous, apprehensive, all of the above?
A little bit of all of the above, I guess. But, you know, I'm really, really excited for it. I heard all the stories of my dad racing there and also my grandfather, and listening to what they had to say about, you know, their experiences that race has just really motivated me and, you know, excited me. So I'm really enthusiastic about getting out there and trying it for the first time and racing out there in front of the big crowds and on the big track as well. I can't wait, that's for sure. But I did a test day at the Homestead Super Speedway, and that was flat out in the Indy Lights car, and that was so much fun, and it was definitely a little bit different to what I'm used to, going that fast around corners and not lifting or braking or doing anything, just kind of riding it out flat out. So that was so much fun, but I'm sure Indy's even more a little bit more of a different animal as well. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, fantastic. We're looking forward to seeing you compete. And again, thank you so much for joining us. And we wish you the absolute best of luck in the coming season and here at St. Petersburg coming up in a couple short weeks.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.